Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Ken. We are this morning in Numbers, and I hope you kept your place, Numbers chapter 14. And to help out, turn to Joshua 14 right up front, and that'll help us later on in the message. Numbers 14 and Joshua 14. I hope you'll join us Wednesday night. I'm excited about Wednesday night. I asked Pastor if we could do something a little special. He said, sure. Next month, it'll be 5 years since we stepped away from pastoral ministry, pastored outside Akron for almost 40 years, and still had my faculties. So wanted to keep serving the Lord. Didn't know how or why, but the Lord has opened up, as you know, churches that I've been able to help out that are between pastors and also pastors out of town, vacation, pastors sick, and so on and so forth. So it's been good. Stayed busy a couple Sundays a month, busy. And so I've been in Findlay last week, and so it's good. But I just wanted to do more, and I've always had a love for kids. I've always had a love for high school kids and what they get in public schools. And the Lord directed me to this ministry, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You say, what is that? Well, you know you have the Latin Club, the French Club, FHA, FFA, all kind of clubs. And the Fellowship of Christian Athletes leadership have gotten legal approval for them to have a club in the school on equal footing with other clubs. So the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a group of kids that are involved in athletics in one way or another. Many are Christians. Many just come for the enjoyment and the donuts before school and so on and so forth. And they have a faculty advisor, and they meet either 45 minutes before school or they meet during lunch hour and bring their tray full of food into a room where there's a projector and screen and so on and so forth. And I am just overwhelmed with how the Lord has blessed. We've been able to be so far. Well, some of you, a couple years ago in January, we showed that creation evolution slideshow here. And we've been able to do that at Columbus Grove, Ottawa, Glendorf, Spencerville, Allen East, Van Wert, Liberty Benton, Lipsick, and Bath. And the reception has been so good. Sometimes we'll have 10 kids there. Sometimes we'll have almost 40 kids there. But what is neat is that I've been invited back. And so I've gone back to Columbus Grove, gone back to Spencerville, Allen East, and other leaders want me to come back this fall. But the warmest reception of all has been Spencerville. Spencerville is headed up by Chris and Sarah Summers. Chris, football coach there. Sarah, his wife's on staff. They invited me back for the third time. And I had to come up with another slideshow presentation because I had the creation evolution one. And then I do the Bible in 5 words. Formed, creation, deformed, sin, informed, the gospel, transformed, faith in Christ and sanctification, and reformed, rededication, like David, like Peter, like almost everybody in the Bible. And they said, come back again. So I put together a program called The People of Proverbs. There's the fool. There's the simple-minded person. Let me tell you about some oceanfront property in Colorado I've got for sale. Believes everybody and everything gullible. There's the mocker, the scorner. And there's on and on and on. So we put together, with the help of my grandson, put together a slideshow on Proverbs people. And we showed it at Spencerville in April. And Chris or Sarah contacted me and she said, can we do 2 sessions? We'll do 1 session for the middle school and another session for the high school. Can you come early? Fine. They brought in 29 middle school kids, did the slideshow on Proverbs people. They left, and then 27 high school kids came in. We had 56 kids. See the Proverbs presentation. We're going to do it Wednesday night. Crusade, that's my old church. What's the new church? Marion Baptist Church. Crusade Baptist Church, there for 39 years. I guess you're entitled to goof up once in a while. But we are going to show it Wednesday night. I hope you'll come. Hope you'll come. Bring somebody with you for the day, for the evening. Okay, we're talking about Caleb today. Look at verse 24 of chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verse 24. But my spirit, Caleb, the Lord speaking, after this whole episode of the 12 spies going in, 10 saying we can't do it, 2, Joshua and Caleb saying we can, and the 10 win, and Joshua and Caleb are left alone, and here's the Lord's evaluation of that whole sad story. But my spirit, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein to he went, and his seed shall possess it. The man with a different spirit. Caleb's grandfather was a slave in Egypt. His father was a slave in Egypt. Caleb had grown up a slave in Egypt. And at age 39, Moses walks into town after being on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Caleb's going to see the miracles. Water turned to blood, lice, flies, cattle disease, hail, all of that. Then he's going to witness and take part in the Passover. Then he's going to head through the Red Sea. And then he's sent to spy out the land. And he becomes the man with a different spirit. Now, before we get into Caleb's spirit, let's look at what Caleb's spirit was different than. In other words, what is the ordinary or common spirit that people have? Well, fear and gloom and despair is a common spirit. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. That's a common spirit. Sour, always negative. This is just not going to end well. That's a common spirit. Another common spirit is pride. When Moses confronted Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, "Who's the Lord that I should obey him?" Pride. And we see that in our day. People say, "Don't preach to me." And then there's the spirit of anger and bitterness. Just always agitated. You don't want to get too close to them. You're afraid they're going to explode. And then one that looks good on the surface is the positive spirit. I can do anything. I can handle any situation. And a lot of selfishness involved in this, but positive. And people all the time think positive. And we should think positive if that means trusting the Lord to be positive. But so many people are positive, and they just think, "I can handle anything," like that rich farmer that said, "I got lots of money, and I'm going to take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry for many years. I got many years ahead of me." Thinking positive. He was thinking positive, all right. But that night, the Lord was going to require his soul. And then there are those that have a skeptical spirit. They would say this: "I've seen too much to trust people, and everybody's a fraud. If you look deep enough, you're going to see they're a fraud." And so they're just skeptical. Of course, skeptical especially of Christians. And then some people have just a confused. They're just confused, and they can't put the pieces together, and they make false decisions because they just remember Ahab, King Ahab just a wicked king. And of course, he married somebody wickeder. Is that an English word? I don't know. Wickeder than her. Well, she was, whether the word is right or not. More wicked, probably, instead of wickeder. You didn't hear that, did you? And she's killing preachers right and left. And Elijah calls the prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel. You know that episode of fire coming down from heaven. And then Elijah gets scared and he runs away. But he's going to come back. He's going to come back in time for Elijah to, with Jezebel's help, to steal Naboth's vineyard. And Elijah shows up and confronts Naboth, or confronts Ahab. And Ahab says, "Have you found me, O mine enemy?" He's confused. Elijah's his best friend. If he'll listen to the message from Elijah and repent and get right with God, Elijah's his best friend. Jezebel's not his best friend. His advisors are not his best friend. People today, they look upon Bible-believing Christians as the enemy. How sad. We're their best friend. Well, let's look at Caleb's spirit. You're there in Numbers. Look back at chapter 13, verse 30. After the spies come back, 10 of them give this bad report. Caleb stills the people. I like that. You can just hear him. Today, we'd have him getting up on the back of a flatbed truck and just, hey, cool it, guys. Cool it. He stills the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." What a giant, what a spiritual giant. He has instant obedience. Instant. Let's go up at once. Let's do it now. Not tomorrow. Do it now. We're going to be talking about Proverbs Wednesday night, and you can be thinking of some Proverbs. Here's one: never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. See, back in the early days of our country, Proverbs were very important. They didn't have technology. They didn't have whiteboards, smart boards, stuff like that. But how are you going to teach kids if you don't have a lot of visual aids? You're going to teach them short, pithy, simple statements that summarize a wise principle. So Proverbs were very important. So he's not going to put off to tomorrow. Today, let's go get this job done. So we need to pattern ourselves after that. If you've been thinking about receiving Christ as Savior, do it today. Let's do it now. If you've been thinking about getting baptized, talk to the pastor when he gets back. Let's make a date for me to get baptized. If you have been thinking about growing in the Lord and maybe starting to come to more than one service a week, let's do it now. Let's do it now. Don't wait. Look at his faith, verse 30. We are well able. We can do this. We are well able. And then look at verse, back at our text, or not our text, but the verse we started with, verse 24 of chapter 14, verse 24:14. He followed, okay, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully." He fully followed the Lord. That phrase or that thought about Caleb is stated 6 times. You know, the Lord doesn't flatter, right? You understand the Lord? The Lord never pays a compliment to someone that doesn't deserve a compliment. Now, sometimes we can flatter someone and have ulterior motives about what we're trying to get out of that person by flattering them. The Lord never, when He says somebody has followed me fully, if the Lord said that one time, we would say Caleb is somebody worth me learning about. But He says it 6 times. And then I want you to keep your place and turn to Joshua 14. If you haven't gotten there yet, we mentioned earlier to have it ready. Joshua 14, verse 10. Joshua comes to Moses after they've entered the promised land. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And Joshua blessed him. Did I say earlier that he's coming to Moses? No, he's coming to Joshua after they've entered the promised land, not Moses. Moses is gone. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He's 85 and still serving the Lord. He is strong for war. Okay. Probably none of us are as strong as we used to be, unless it's one of our young people. They're getting stronger at this point in life. But probably none of us, my age and your age, are as strong as we used to be. But we can be as strong as we used to be for spiritual warfare. And when the devil comes putting ideas into our heads, we need to fight back at 85 just as we did at 25. Age is no handicap. Douglas MacArthur led our troops in Korea in his 70s. Ronald Reagan was president in his 70s. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote Crossing the Bar at age 80. Benjamin Franklin helped draft the U.S. Constitution in his 80s. Winston Churchill served as Prime Minister after World War II in his 80s. And Antonio Stradivari was still making violins in his 90s. And so age should be no handicap. Not physically. We all know we can't do as much as we should, but spiritually, we ought to stay strong. Now, keep your place there in Numbers. We're probably going to go back there one more time, but I want you to turn to John chapter 8. Caleb's spirit is a reminder of Jesus' spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about his mental outlook on life. John 8:29, as he that sent me is with me, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Did Jesus do everything that pleased the Father 100% of the time? Yes. Did Caleb follow the Lord 100% of the time? No. No one is sinless. We all have fallen short and come short of the glory of God. So when the Bible says that Caleb fully followed the Lord, he was following the Lord as far as anybody humanly possible could do it. 99.9%, whatever. But our Lord followed him fully. We would say this, for all intents and purposes, Caleb followed the Lord fully. Not absolutely, totally, but you know what we're saying. Our Lord Jesus had a spirit of seeing His Heavenly Father in every situation. When he saw people, He was moved with compassion on them. Putnam County Fair next week. This week. Starts tomorrow. Putnam County Fair starts tomorrow. I know you'll all be there. Lots of people. And you can look at them critically. Or you can look at them the way Jesus looked. They're sheep without a shepherd. They're sheep without a shepherd. Moved with compassion. Comes into the city on Palm Sunday. Weeps over the city. He had compassion for people. He saw the world's future. He knew the world wasn't going to end in nuclear war, or it wasn't going to end in the seas rising because of us violating the climate. He knew the world's future was going to get worse and worse, and that the nations were going to be gathered together at Armageddon, and that He would return, and then there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. He saw Satan's power to blind. I think if I were an unsaved person, and I saw all the craziness going on in our elementary schools talking about gender for five-year-olds, I think I'd start believing in the devil if I hadn't up till now. How can you explain it? He saw the cross. He saw the cross as the only answer. What about your spirit? Pride, despair, bitterness. Paul had it right. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I don't measure up to Peter. Of course, we saw in Sunday school, he labored more abundantly than they all. He worked harder than Peter, Andrew, John, any of those guys. He labored more abundantly than all. Yet not I, but Christ who dwelleth in me. But he considered himself down here, and Peter and Andrew and all those guys up here. He said, I'm less than the least of all saints. Talk about humility. Less than the least of all saints. And then he said, fill in the blank, I'm the chief of sinners. And then he turns right around and says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You talk about a well-balanced person. I'm a nobody, but with Christ I can do everything. I'm not talking about going out, standing in front of a train and saying stop. I'm saying everything that Christ wants you to do and would be in His will and for His glory, for your good, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Now, I know it's graduation time and graduation speakers are getting up there and saying, if you can dream it, you can do it. No. It's good to have dreams, but that doesn't mean your dreams are going to come true if they're not God's will for your life. So you find out what God's will is, and then you nail it down. This is what God wants me to do. And then you say, I can do it through Christ. I'm a nobody. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm less than the least of all saints. But I can do it if the Lord wants me to do it. We need to have a godly spirit, looking back, thankful, and looking ahead, confident. One more thing about Caleb. Numbers chapter 14, where we were before. But my spirit, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went and his seed to possess it. He had offspring. He's a father. His offspring, his descendants are going to possess that land. I would think that Caleb would have been a remarkable father. Leading by example. Oh, do you know this proverb? More things are caught than taught. More things are caught than taught. Don't you think Caleb's kids caught on that fully following the Lord was the way to live? Way to live. Jerome Patton was an unusual Christian of another generation. He had to walk 8 miles every time he attended church. 4 miles there, 4 miles back. In 40 years, he only missed 3 Sundays. Once a snowstorm caused him to return home after starting out. Once, ice was so slippery that after falling several times, he had to crawl back home on his hands and knees. Once, when there was a cholera outbreak, he didn't attend church. It's no wonder 3 of his sons became ministers, and one became one of the most famous missionaries of all time. It is indeed true that more things are caught than taught. What are those things around you that people are catching from you when they observe your devotion to the Savior? Jeff's going to come, and we're going to turn to number 491 in your hymnal. It's a tremendous song. It talks about how we can have the Lord's victory in our life. And there's only one way to do it. Stand if you would, please.